many to count, and I'm only myself to blame. Seem harmless enough, but they grow into giants, oh so tough. And the cycle continues. When will I ever learn? Creature of habit, you're going down. I'm breaking the cycle. Hard to mess up.
Thank you. song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Song says we have a tendency to allow in our flesh man to let Jesus become brought down eye level with our obstacles, but Jesus is way above that. You say amen. He's above every sickness. He's above every problem. He's above every cancer. He's above every depression. He's above everything. No matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ is higher than that, but we have to see him that way. Amen.
Amen.
You know, your parents can be the one you can go to for problems. But if you don't see them in the capacity of what they can do for you, you can miss out on a lot of leadership that you could have right from your own parents. Is that right, parents?
Amen.
Amen. But you go, a lot of times, sometimes it can be the parent that doesn't display themselves in a situation. We can see that, but God don't do that. God is a good displaying God. You say amen this morning.
Amen.
I want to see him high and lifted up above every problem that I have this morning. I want to speak to you to a thought this morning. The Lord has laid on my heart. If I was to name it, I would call it Christ in you. Christ in you. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John 4:1-6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I want to read just one quote before we sit down. Yet men and women live a good life and love God by a mental conception. But the real hiding place is in the heart, hid with Christ. And when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, He is in you with your temperament. He is living His own life through His Son, His own. I'm sorry, let me read that again. He's living His own life through His own will be through you. Hallelujah. I know it sounds awful, but it's right. Christ, so yielded you are that Christ speaks the kind of words He'd speak. He thinks the kind of thoughts He would think through you. He does the kind of works He would do through you. You are yielded and resting. What a beautiful picture of a consecrated Christian, yielded, Christ working through you. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning. I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you for an ear to hear, Lord. Lord, as you have spoken yourself, many have ears, but they can't hear. Lord, thank you for an ear to hear this morning. Lord, you said people will have eyes, but they can't see. Thank you for allowing us to see, Lord. Father, as we have sung just a portion of a song, long ago, Lord, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to see you in the capacity that the world sees you, but Lord, we want to see you the capacity as a wife, Lord. Lord, we want to see you in the capacity as a father and a son. Lord God, I want to see you in a personal level, Lord, where you can come down, Lord, on our own individual level, that you will counsel with us, Lord. Lord, as a father could sit on a fish bank and talk to his son, Lord, and his son can be distressed about all kinds of different things, Lord, and Lord, sitting on that bank, you can just let everything go and you can just talk it out. I'm asking you, Father, this morning, Lord, that we could not be in no hurry, Lord, that we can just sit on the bank, if it were, and Lord, you'd be able to just talk to us. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to listen to your voice. Lord God, I ask you to touch every heart that's here now. Lord, would you knock on their hearts afresh, Lord, to this great time of fellowship that we have now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to be yielded, and I want to be consecrated. Because you know, whenever you consecrate your life to the Lord, the more consecrated you are willing to be, the more God will work in your life. And that is a fact. Right. You know, a lot of times people want the works of God, but you don't put no consecration in there. I remember whenever I was going to place, it was Eagle Lighthouse, not Eagle, it was Kyoto Full Gospel. It was a church out in Kyoto. And I remember at that time I was working literally like 90 hours a week. And I was working the old field, working all kinds of hours. And we sung a song and it says, "Consecrate me now to thy service, O Lord." And I remember when I heard that song, it stuck something inside me that says, the more I will consecrate myself to God, the more God will speak to me. And though I was working 90 hours a week, I've got the Bible still in my closet. If you open that Bible up, the pages fall out. And there's sprinkles between tears and mud from the oil rig coming down on my Bible. Because even though I was working the hours, even though I was doing the time, even though I was so tired, sometimes I felt like I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. God laid it on my heart. If I want to be close to Him, I've got to consecrate myself to Him. That's something that I'm going to have to do on my own time. It's an individual walk. And friends, I began my journey right then of where I would, during my time, I would, even though I had all this going on, I made time to read my Bible. Can you say amen? Amen? And to the point where my pages were falling out, I said, "Lord, I don't mean to disrespect your word by letting this stuff fall on your Bible, but I just want to talk to you." And that's what we got to do. We got to consecrate ourselves to God. Amen. The more you will consecrate yourself to God, the more God will work in your life and God will meet you. Amen. There's a true vine and there's a false vine. Cain and Abel, in the very beginning, they had the sacrifice. And during this sacrifice with Cain and Abel, it was a situation that God required. God required the sacrifice, but Cain and Abel were twin brothers. And Abel was a man that seen the same ministry that his father ministered. They heard the same message. But during the time of the altar, Cain didn't want to come the right way as far as the blood come. Cain wanted to present a sacrifice that he could do that was a beautiful sacrifice. He was a man that was not, it was not a fact of a man simply going out and laying in the air conditioning of his house. He says, okay, it's time for service, so I'm going to go pick a couple of tomatoes and put it on the altar. No, it was not like that. This was a man that was diligent about his service. This was a man that put sweat. This is a man that put tears. This is a man that put effort. This was a man that wanted to be right in his own way. And whenever he did all these things, I want you to realize it was a man that was not slack. It was a man that was working hard at this. This was a man that was religious. This was a man that put effort. This was a good church-going man. This was a man that was going through all the motions. If you were to drive down the street and you see it, you say, wow, Cain sure is at it. He sure is a religious fella. Boy, he sure is a guy. He sure is a guy that loves God. But if they didn't know what the word was, they wouldn't know how to judge him correctly.
Right.
Because if they knew the word, they would say, that's not going to work because God requires blood. That work, though you're putting the sacrifice, though you're doing the time, that's not going to work. Your sacrifice is not going to work. Sacrifice is a good part of a Christian walk. Absolutely. But that alone will not work. And this was a man that did all this effort, and he put the pumpkins, he put the tomatoes, he put them on there, and it was a beautiful worship service. And see, that's what the church has gotten to today. They don't want the blood anymore. They don't want the suffering, the pain. They want it to be easy. To where you just come to service, you just worship God, you don't worry about those things, just come to service and go through the emotions, but there has to be blood. His brother, if you looked at his brother and his sacrifice, and you look at his brother Abel's sacrifice, you would say, Cain deserves this more than Abel does.
Right.
If you weren't looking at the word.
Right.
You would look at who, and you would say, God, how could you turn away this blood sac, this pumpkin, tomatoes? He's worked harder. But he looks at Abel, and Abel had faith that it was not in what I can do. It's not in the sacrifices I can do. It's not how good I can be. It's not whether I made a mistake this week or I didn't make a mistake. His faith was in the blood. And when he put that lamb on the altar and he did that sacrifice, he was not looking at his own sacrifice. He was looking at this blood and saying, this is my only hope. Say amen.
Amen.
Spirits do not die. Men die, but spirits don't die. And Cain, he was a very religious man. He sacrificed. And there are people that sacrifice their babies to God. You want to talk about sacrifice? People that will literally sacrifice. Brother Brim talked about how the women would feed their babies to an alligator because she believed that was the way of salvation. Sun worshipers would worship the sun to the point where their eyes were literally crushed over because they had faith in that. Man can be sincere and he can be sincerely wrong. Brother Brim talked about how the crow and the dove, how they would be in the exact same cage. And the thing about a crow is, if you drove down the highway today, more than likely you've probably seen that crow sitting beside the road and eating dead carcass. But you can take that same crow and you can put him in grain. Put him with grain and he'll eat grain. God put the crow and the dove in the exact same cage inside that ark. Both of them ate grain. Both of them were absolutely content. The difference was when God let the crow out, the crow was satisfied with a dead carcass. And he stayed out there. But the dove, when he let that dove go out there, that dove could not do that. The crow could eat that carcass in secret. Listen now. That crow could eat grain when everyone's looking. But it's in the secret time. He can eat the dead carcass and be absolutely okay with that. I'm here to tell you, there's people that sit right in churches. Don't talk about them out there. We're talking right in message churches. Because that doesn't help us. We need to know what's happened right in front of us.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, as your brother, I'm going to step Brother Daniel to the side. Hate me if you want to, but I'm going to preach to you this morning. You can sit right in service in front. If you can sit in service and hear this message, but I'm here to tell you, if you can go right out there in darkness and live in the world and feed on that garbage out there and feel okay with that, I'm here to tell you, your experience is wrong. Because I'm telling you what, that dove, he don't have the gall inside him anymore. He has something inside him. He don't even desire those things anymore. Now, I'm not saying you all make mistakes. You'll make mistakes. I'm here to tell you. You get the blood. You get that experience. I'm talking about Christ in you. You make those mistakes, you will not be able to live with yourself until you make it right. The way you can judge that crow and that dove, the true test you can do is test their diet. And I'm here to tell you, you want a test? You want to see where's my experience at? I'm giving you the test. What are you feeding on? What is your diet? I'm not talking about when everyone's looking at you. I'm talking about when it's you by yourself. What are you feeding on? Because that's your test. Because that day, whenever you stand before Almighty God, there's nobody else going to be standing there. It's going to be you and you alone. That's right. Young people, you're going to come to an age of accountability to where no one's going to be able to stand there and answer for you. You will stand by yourself. And you will answer to God, what did you do with my word? I'm telling you what, we're living in an hour right now, friends, where we need to be serious about these things. We don't need to be looking about for jumping and shouting. Those things are fine. But most people that jump and shout go out and live like a devil right afterwards. I'd rather have you be quiet as a mouse on cotton and live this message and have Christ in you than to be jumping all over the place. We need Christ in us. I'm not talking about a mental conception. A mental conception, you'll serve God when it's easy. It's when it gets hard. It's whenever it's dark, all the winds are blowing. It's during that time. It really tests who you are.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, by John Wesley's own ritual that I got in my house, some texts of his books, he was here in America, him and Asbury. He was riding a horse out for to pray for some woman. The horse fell down and broke his leg. He got off and anointed the horse with oil in the name of the Lord and got on it and rode away. You preach divine healing now, they'll throw you out of the Methodist Church. And John Smith, the founder of the Baptist Church, my own church, why? He prayed so much at nighttime till his wife had to lead him to the table. His eyes would be swollen shut from crying. You can't even get a tear out of a Baptist eye no more. What's the matter? Something went wrong because that I ain't nothing against Methodist or Baptist churches. Them are my brethren. But the thing of it is, brother, a few round of apostles, like it was in the beginning, you begin to let down the bars. You let down the bars. This one come in and that lot of theology, a lot of education, and you run God out the door. It'll never substitute the power of God.
Right.
Mental conception will never substitute the power of God. Just by joining church will never produce the power of God. The children of Israel, they were under the bondage of Egypt, and it came to a place where they wanted to be free. And they couldn't get it off of their mind. They would say within themselves, if only I could get free, I would serve God in the capacity that I truly have a desire to. They couldn't get it out of their head. They were under such bondage, they kept saying within themselves, if only I could get free, I would serve God. I would give everything that I had. If I can just get out of this bondage that I'm in right now. How many knows what I'm talking about? You go through this life and you have a bondage on you and you're saying, God, get me out of this thing. God, get me out of this. Get me out of this problem that I'm in. God, if you'll just get me out of this, I will serve you the best I can. I will serve God. I will do all these things. You'll have this bondage on you. You'll cry. You'll groan. But as soon as God gets him out, as soon as God got them out of the bondage, immediately they said, you know what? During these trials we're going through, I would rather have garlic in Egypt. I would rather just throw in the towel. I would rather just be a slave. Wouldn't it better to be a slave than to have this? You're talking about people that had fresh manna every day given to them. You're talking about people whose shoes never wore out. And they would rather have bondage of Egypt than to be free. You say, boy, Brother Daniel, that's crazy. I would never do that. Check yourself.
Right.
You cry within yourself, God, if only I could have a house of worship where I can literally, where I can go, I can focus and put 100% into it in the worship service. No matter what I'm doing, I'll give 100%, God. And then God give it to you, and then what do you do with it? God, if I can only get to this victory to where I can get over this trial, where I can walk in the Spirit, and you imagine your mind, and God gives it to you. And then what do you do with the liberty God gave you? Don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Say amen.
Right.
God will set you free. God's not going to throw you in hell for making these mistakes, but don't use that for an occasion of the flesh. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the people that had fresh manna. They brought bondage on their own selves rather than taking the rest that God gave them. Brother Bram says, I want to carry this all the way through, so let us go a step further. You have studied the history of revivals. Now, a revival signifies a move of God in power. And every time God moves, Satan is there to move also. It never fails. In the days of the great Welsh revival, and most people don't know this, the insane asylums filled up quickly. And there was a great display of devil power to take away the attention from God. It is written that in Wesley's day, the people would do most peculiar things that were definitely of Satan to try to mock the goodness and power of God. In Luther's day, it is said that the miracle of his ministry did not lie in the fact that he successfully protested the Roman Catholic Church. But the miracle lay in the fact that he could and did stay sound and sane amidst the fanatics who were often filled and guided by wrong spirits. If you have been aware of this last day ministry, you have noted the same invasion of false, wicked spirits. It has to be that way. Now, I hope and trust your spiritual mind enough to capitalize on this. Everybody's looking for sensations. And it comes to the point to where it's to a point where man can have a tendency to allow Hollywood influence their thinking so much that they think you have to jump and shout or you're not Pentecostal anymore.
Right.
Friends, I can't say it loud enough. I would rather have a church that don't shout but listens to this message than someone that jumps and shouts and speaks in tongues and don't. While God is silently speaking to the bride, the world churches are presenting a shiny glamour. And at the same time, you have people that will scream, shout while dancing in service, and turn right around and kill their brother through gossip. You know, Brother Branham said, you talk about your brother behind his back, you may as well stab him in the back. You've killed his influence. This thing right here that's in our mouth kills more people every day than any gun you'll ever see. By speaking about your brother, speaking about your sister. I'm here to tell you, you hear someone start gossiping, you cut that off. Say, I am not listening to that garbage. I had a man that would come to me several times, and I won't say his name. Man kept coming, and every time he'd start, oh, we're going to pray for this brother. He didn't have a thing to do with wanting to pray for this brother. He wanted to talk about him. He'd do it every day. He'd come to me and say, we're going to pray for this brother. He'd start telling me about everything about, I said, brother, I don't want to know about all that. I said, we'll pray about it. Kept doing it. One day he finally came. I said, brother, we're going to pray right here, right in the middle of the shop. I said, we're going to pray for this need. For this situation. I said, then I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray this spirit off of you because this is a gossip spirit. This ain't a spirit wanting to help your brother. This is a spirit that wants to talk bad about somebody and you're using religious talk to cover for it. Let's pray for this brother. And you talk about running down the dirt. Amen?
Right.
And tell you what, he never did that again. And about a year later, he came up to his brother Daniel. He said, I appreciate you doing that. He said, I honestly didn't realize it. He said, but you put me in a spot where you literally put the finger in the face and I couldn't say, okay, it's not me. Amen. This right here, friends, you can edify and you can tear down.
Yeah.
You want strength in your walk? Right here, speaking that. You want defeat in your walk? Right here, speaking that. You speak and say, I am living this today. It's going to be a victorious day. I am the bride of Jesus Christ. Speaking that. You got this trial in front of you that you've been praying about, and you're not seeing any kind of results on it, speak on that. You say, God is moving this mountain. Brother, I'll tell you a testimony. I remember one time we were traveling from Alma. We went to Alma, had to go to Fayetteville, and on my way back, I had less than an eighth of a tank before I left to Fayetteville. I had no money at all in my pocket. I had, and the gas cap had a lock on it, and I didn't have a key for it. So even if I had gas, I couldn't put it in the car. That thing was absolutely on fumes, and fear come on me, and I was like, and it was way past empty. The empty was here, and my line was here. If that says anything, and I was traveling, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to run out of gas. It's hot. I don't know what I'm going to do. And faith struck into my heart and says, you speak that fuel into that in that vehicle. It was traveling, and I said, you will make it. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I command it. I slapped that old dash down that old car. I said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I claim it by authority. You will go where I need to go. I've paid my tithes. I've given my offerings. I'm faithful to God. You will take me where I need to go. Slap the hood of that thing. I'm going to tell you what. I made it to the house and to work and back on the same tank of gas. I'm going to tell you something. You can look like where it's absolutely impossible. You start speaking the word and you start moving forward. You speak the word, says I can have it. I've done my requirements. Now, if I'm slack on my tithes, I'm slack on my offerings, and I'm robbing God, hello? Then I can't stand my feet on that. But when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I can stand as a son of God and say, this is mine, I'm taking it. Amen. Whenever God gave them the land, all they had to do was go take it. But they had to go take it. God gave them the request. He said, you go, and I've given the land to you, but you got to go take it. I'm here to tell you, as believers today, we've got to start taking the land that God gave us. And I'm not talking about just a physical land. I'm talking about victory in your life. More of the Holy Ghost in your life, where you start claiming it. You start taking it. You say, this is mine today. Joy is mine today. Am I preaching to myself today, or is there somebody listening this morning? You know, God has given us the message, but we got to push the emotions to the side. Emotions will fail you. If I'm hearing you, the word will not fail you. It's Christ in you, not the mental conception. But I've got the word in my heart. I've listened to this word. I'm applying this word. Amen. Sickness comes in front of me. I don't feel well. I can't see. I can't hear. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter what your situation is. Take this word and start speaking the word. It says, the word said I can have it. I'm claiming it. And you start moving forward. You speak that word to that obstacle until you see God high and lifted up.
Amen.
Amen. Rather than leading the flock to a death, burial, and a resurrection, the church world today is preaching, well, just come to church. Everything's fine. Just go to church. I'm so sick of just going to church. I want to see people victorious. I want to see them walking in the word every week where I can see you like that to a brother been struggling. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. These people, they were religious. Talking about the people that have the crow. They're religious. They do the works. They do these things. But it's what they do with their secret time. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 7, verses 13. I'm sorry, St. John. St. John chapter 7 verses. St. John 1, 7 through 13. You should have it wrote down there. The same come for a witness to bear witness of the light, and all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of God. But of not the will of man, but of God. John pointed them to the light, and it was the light that changed them, and it was the light that gave them the power to become the sons of God. And I'm here to tell you, friends, I have a mixed audience. You have to bear with me. I have to carry everybody in this. In John's day, he pointed them to the light of that hour, and it was that light that gave them the power to become the sons of God. That was awesome. But in our day, there was another spirit that come and pointed us to the light of this hour. And it's the light of this hour that gives you the power to become the sons of God. It's the light of this hour that gives you. And Brother Brennan, I remember I was listening to a message Brother Brennan was talking to. It's one of the greatest powers you have is it gives you the power to lay your life down. It's awesome to have power to see healings. It's awesome to see devils cast out. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen them. So many in here have seen that. But the greatest power you'll have is when you can take your life and lay it down. Or you take in the secret life that I was talking about a while ago. You say, Brother Daniel, I know what you're talking about. I'm going through that. I've got this secret thing. I'm telling you that the power of God can help you lay that thing down. Lay your life down where you can truly die to yourself. Amen. That's the hardest thing for a believer in your journey is to die. Amen. Because nobody wants to die. But when you can die to yourself and that old man can die, that's when Christ can truly come up. And it comes from the heart. Amen. John the Baptist, he cried out against ministers and the ministry. He cried out to him, you repent and show forth fruits of repentance. But you think that John the Baptist, from the carnal thinking, that John the Baptist would have went to the ministry and says, I'm here, boys. Put his arm around him and says, let's go get him. Let's go fight the devils. Hello? But he preached right against the very ministers that were in the ministry of that hour. Is that the truth? He says, show forth fruits meet for repentance. What is it that the ministers did in their hour that displays the Lord? How did they get to where they were when they rejected God? Not just ministers, but the people. Let's think about this for a moment. They never started the ministry to be bad people. If we were to examine the fruits of the Spirit, they appear to have more fruits of the Spirit than Jesus on the surface. Don't be fooled by just because the church dances and screams that they have life, because a lot of times it don't. It's the life they live when nobody's looking. They allowed the church, talking about the ministry of that hour, they allowed the church to make excuses for buying their doves and lambs and sacrificing the temple, because they didn't have time to do it the proper way. You think of this. These are people that we're not talking about so much as they were buying and selling on the pasture. We're talking right inside the church, right inside the temple. They were buying and selling lambs and doves. So whosoever, that way you don't have to be in a press. We know life is easy. Our life is hard. It's not easy. We understand that the ministry understands that it's okay. We understand that you don't have time to sacrifice during the week. We understand that. So we're going to make this very easy for you. We're going to put the lambs and the doves right here in the temple. Just come on your merry way. Pick up your lamb or your dove. You do your sacrifice and God will be with you. Hello. He was understanding. This ministry was understanding. They loved them. They cared about them. It's the worst thing you could ever have. Tell me the truth. Jesus, whenever Jesus came through, he chased them out through whips. And cleaned the house. If you look at the scripture, immediately after they cleaned the house, healings and blind, the healings took place and the blind were able to see when they cleaned the house. We've got to clean the house, friends. Our house. We've got to get to the point where we push this guy here, because this guy does not want to sacrifice before the Lord. This flesh man, the guy you look at in the mirror, he does not want to sacrifice for God. This guy right here does not want to pray. This guy right here does not want to pray and read your Bible. This guy right here says, Brother Daniel, I wish you'd sure get to the point so we can go home so I can go do what I want to do. This guy right here will. We've got to claim this house. Well, we've got to stop allowing this guy rule the roost and let the Word start ruling it again, having Christ in you. Amen. Amen. If I'm stepping on toes, please just get him out of the aisle. Amen. They did that because it made it so convenient to where they didn't have to rush and make their preparations for service. You know, Brother Brennan said we should be at service 30 minutes early before service. 30 minutes early.
Right.
You know why? So you can pray, meditate on the Lord, and get your mind on the service. That way when the minister comes up, he can step right into that channel and he can start preaching. But you know, if you wait till right at service time, and then you start, then you step up here and you start, or wherever you're at inside service, if you wait till service and then say, okay, I better wait till the last minute, service starts at such and such time, I'm going to be here. As long as I'm there by the time the music starts, I'll be okay. No, you are a hindrance to the service when you do that. You're supposed to be 30 minutes early and you seek God, get your mind right, because you know what? Your bad attitude can knock somebody out of their healing. That's right. You say, that, Brother Daniel, that don't matter. It does matter. The prophet said that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know about you folks, but I want good services. Yeah, amen?
Amen.
Whenever I, you know, if I'm doing my preparation and I'm seeking God and I'm doing these things, I want you to do your part. And if I'm not doing my part, Lord, bust my hide while we'll start doing it. Amen. Because I want to start moving forward.
Amen.
That's right. You know, when we come to service, our minds have already been prayed up and are meditating on the Lord to be in the same channel already. But you know, if you don't do that, and if you're slacking, and then you get up here and you say, well, I'm just going to sit through service, and then the preacher struggles all through service. Like, well, that preacher must not have studied last night. Well, maybe you should get yourself ready.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I say, you may hate me afterwards, but you'll love me eventually. I hope. The minister is so afraid of offending anyone, they allow anything to happen. Reminds me of Eli in the scriptures. Eli had sons that would not serve the Lord at all. And rather than correcting it, he just let it go. I'm here to tell you, friends, my kids feel sorry for them. They're right in front of me. You just step out of line, daddy's going to bring down the whip, so to speak. Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Because that's as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's what you got to say yourself. As for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. You say, I am doing this. Devil, you are not creeping in here. This is what the prophet said. I want it to be to where whenever a problem arises, I can speak the word and I can move forward. Remember what I said about tithes? Because I was paying my tithes and my offerings. Because I did that, that category, if we can call it that, whenever I need that financial need, because I've done my requirements in that category, I can say, I have done my part. I'm speaking the word, and I am moving forward.
Amen.
But I can't be robbing God and then expect God to come on the scene and start doing these things.
Amen.
That's right. Now, you can repent and make it right, and God will forgive you for it. Absolutely. But you can't know what you're doing wrong. Scripture says, talk about a time where people will know to do right. Not only will they not do it, but they'll have pleasure while they do it. Friends, I want to be faithful in everything God gave me. Faithful in what God gave me. The revelation that God gave me, I want to be faithful with that. And I want to be a good steward of that. But that's the problem, is people don't reverence it like we need to. Speaking of Brother Daniel also. This word should be reverenced more than anything. You think about David. David was a man, who agreed with me, David loved God. David served God. David, he did all these wonderful things. He was a great brother. But you know, David knew the provided way, but he decided to take the Ark of the Covenant and put it on a cart. He said, let's do it this way. It's easier. And it cost. And what they did, they put that cart, the Ark of the Covenant, on the cart. They were pushing this cart, and it looked like it was going to fall. And a man reached up to put his hand on it to keep it from falling, and it killed that man, struck him dead. And it grieved David very much because of that happened. God has a provided way to where that Ark of the Covenant is not supposed to be on a cart. It's supposed to be over the heart of man. I'm going to say it even closer. It's supposed to be in the heart of man. So I'm telling you what, when you get it inside your heart, friends, it's even during your obstacles. That's when God can prove He's God.
Amen.
Amen. But we've got to come the right way. He's got to come under the blood. People have lost reverence for the word. And remember, we're identified with our sacrifice. Not just sacrifice as in Jesus, but we are identified in how we sacrifice our life for Him. We are identified in how we reverence the Word. Perhaps in the beginning, they talked about the Pharisees or the church world today. Perhaps in the beginning, they had a heart for the ministry, but because they become so calloused by the world that they got their eyes off of the power of God and started telling themselves, just get the people to go to church. Just get them to come to service. They organized to such a point God wasn't changing the hearts anymore, and they were just trying to serve God with a mental conception. Is that the church world today?
Yeah.
No sacrifice, no power, no overcoming, no reverence, no preparations for services, just good going church folk. I don't want to be just a good going church folk. If I was to say, which one of you, who don't raise your hands. If I was to say, who in here is absolutely just on fire for God? I'm telling you, you're on fire, you're on the mountaintop, and hands go up. Don't raise your hands. And which one of you is just so far out in the world, you're just as filthy can be? Ooh, not me. So that, where does that put you? That's way over there. On fire is way over there. That means you're about right here. Is that right? And that's lukewarm. And God said he'll spew you out of his mouth. Right. I don't want to be there. Sorry, I do want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to be on fire for God. But friend, that's because we're fighting a spirit. Every one of us. Starts at the pulpit and it's all the way to the back door. We're fighting a spirit that wants to make you relax. Makes you to calm down. Just chill. Go through the motions. You know, imagine Israel before the Holocaust. Imagine them sitting in the house and dad's sitting on the recliner and he's got his paper and he's reading his paper. It says Hitler is going to kill all the Jews. And it's projected going to be going down your street. Imagine he's reading that and he said, look at this, huh? Hitler's killing all the Jews. And it says they're coming towards this way. Ah, that won't ever happen here. Time goes closer. You need to get out. Hitler and his army are coming. And when they come, they're going to take everybody they touch. They could put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off. Warning after warning after warning after warning. You better get out. You better stop playing with these things. I don't care if it's a newspaper. I don't care what it is. If that is hindering you from getting out, away from the judgment, you need to. That's evil. I don't care what it is. Time and time again, they have warning after warning. Hitler and his army are coming. Could you imagine laying in the bed at night and all of a sudden you hear the scariest noise you've ever heard in your life? An army tank was coming down the streets, crushing everything in its path. A noise they had never heard before. Like, what in the world is that? And they jump up and they run to the door like, what is going on outside? And friends, this is something that happened. They go up to the door. They hear this commotion going on. They hear screaming like they've never heard in their life. Blood-curdling screams going out there. And they run to the window and they look out there and army tanks coming right down their street. Soldiers going house to house, dragging people out. Either shooting them right there on the spot, stripping them away. Daughters go this way. Moms go this way. Sons go this way. Dads go this way. And there wasn't a thing they could do about it. If the dad tried to stand up and say, I'll protect my family, they'd shoot him on the spot.
Right.
They had warning after warning after warning, and it comes to a point where daddy couldn't help no more. You come to a point where it was between you and you and God. You were going to who knows where because you waited too late. And God gave you warning after warning after warning. I'm here to tell you, God has given warning after warning after warning, friends. Rapture is coming. Rapture is coming. Rapture is coming. And once the rapture happens, it's a one-time deal. It's not, well, if I don't catch the first one, I'll catch the second one. No, there's one. You get one train ticket on this thing, and it's called the token. And that's the only way you're getting on this train is having the token. You know, the scriptures talks about how that in Goshen, there was going to, the children of Israel, talking about how that Israel were coming out of Egypt. And God sent all these plagues upon Egypt. It sent fleas. It sent all these things. Frogs. It sent all these things. But the last plague he was going to send was the death angel. And when this death angel was going to come, there was only one way of escape. They had to take the lamb without blemish. They had to strike that blood on the doorpost. And they had to apply it with hyssop, which is just a common weed. Common faith. The only way they could escape is the death angel is coming. And the only way you're going to be saved is you have got to apply the blood to this doorpost. And you have got to get behind that door. And you've got to stay behind that door. You have to partake of the lamb and eat of the bitter herbs. And it says eat it with your staff in your hand. You have to be waiting and ready to go. Because the death angel is coming.
And it was not something that was taken lightly. Because that firstborn was going to die. That firstborn knew, this is my only ticket. This is my only way of safety. Because that death angel is going to come through and it's going to kill everybody in its path. Unless I've got the token of life. You imagine the son looking and seeing daddy. He said, are you sure the blood is applied to the door? Are you sure we're ready for the rapture? Oh, yes, son. Yes, the blood's applied. Don't worry. The blood's applied. Time keeps ticking. And that little boy, if he's got any common sense at all, he would sit there and his hands would be wet from sweat because if he don't make it through this judgment, he's going to be the one that's going to die. And that boy, I met, he kept sitting there and he said, Daddy, are you sure the blood's been applied? Yes, yes, son, it's applied. How do you know? How do you know the blood's applied? Because, Daddy, this is me. This is my life we're talking about, Daddy. This is serious, Daddy. Are you sure? And the dad can say, look, son, the blood is applied on the door. The prophet said, this is the message. You must apply the blood. And the blood is behind the door. And we have to sit back here, son. But listen to me, son. Not just living in this house is enough, son. You have to eat of the bitter herbs, son. You must partake of the lamb, son. We must do these things because this is the Lord's Passover. I'm here to tell you there's a death angel that's going to come and we have to have that blood. We don't have the literal blood of Jesus that we could take the literal blood and touch the door, so to speak. But Jesus told his disciples, he said, it is expedient for you that I must go. They said, but Jesus, we love you. Why are you going to leave us? Talking about Jesus in the flesh. He was talking to his disciples. He said, I must go. They said, but you, why would you go? We got to have you. He said, it's expedient for you that I must go. That way the Spirit of truth can come back. That's right. Jesus was the manifestation of God on earth. God made in flesh. But he had to go. He had to die on the cross and pay the price. That way the blood could be there for us. But he had to go. It was expedient for him. Because if he didn't go, we could never get the Holy Ghost. But whenever Jesus left, he said, expedient, I must go. And whenever Jesus left, the Holy Ghost come back down and Holy Ghost licks a fire. And that's why we can receive the Holy Ghost today, because the Holy Ghost has come down. But the thing is, people don't want to receive it anymore. It'll make them live different. It'll make you walk different. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you gotta die to yourself. Say, God, I've tried to serve it myself, and it ain't working. You need the power of God. I'm here to tell you the power of God is through the Word of God. Amen. That's right, because the Word is what makes the difference. The Word is the chain breaker. I'm telling you what, you got bondage of sin on your life. It's the Word that'll break that chain. Hallelujah. Amen. My goodness, I wish you could see it the way I see it. The Holy Ghost will set you free. He'll break every chain that devil tries to bind you with. I'm so sick of seeing depression on the people. You don't have to have it. In the name of Jesus Christ, be broken. Amen. That's right. We can walk in victory in this hour where we can open the Word like no other day. We can hear the Word and hear the Word from our message of our hour. That's the light of the hour. That's what gives us the power to be the sons of God. But we got to have the light. I love that in the Scripture. If you look at the Scripture closely, it says that light lighteth your path. That means it's a continual lighting. That's right. I've been in Honduras where there's absolutely no light whatsoever. It's all dark. You have to take patios to get where I'm going. You ride in the truck for 8 hours, whatever. You get on the patio, you're going over mountain, over mountain, over mountain, over mountain. You think you're never going to get there. It starts getting dark. And I've got to get from here over there. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But we got a light. And you take that light, that lantern, and as you're going through there, there's a trail that's been blazed. And all I've got to do is stay on that trail. Amen. I'm here to tell you, the prophet today has blazed the trail. That's right, he was that sheep waving. The prophet today showed you you can get the Holy Ghost. Amen. The prophet today shows you can have overcoming power. But you got to have the lantern. You got to have the light. And this right here is that light. You say, Brother Dan, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get this so big. This, what you're talking about, all you do, you take the light that you've been given and you start walking with it. You take one step at a time. That's right. You abide in me, I'll abide in you. If my word abide in you, you ask what you will. But you have to abide in the vine. I'm telling you, friend, it's simple. You abide in this vine and you walk in the Lord. Every time the Lord gives you something, you walk in that. You take another step. Because when you walk in that, God will show you the next step. We climbed a mountain. While we were up there, I call it a mountain. It felt like a mountain to me, a big old hill behind Toby Reedon's cabin. And this thing was huge to me. And if I would have stayed at the bottom and looked at that, I'd say it's impossible. There's no way I can make that. It was literally up like that. You'd have to lay down almost at some points and just put your foot up there. A lot of it's because I was nervous. But you know what? The way you have to do that, you have to look down, look up, and say, I'm doing this. And I'm going one step at a time. I got this mountain I got to climb, and I'm going to climb it. I'm not quitting. It may get hard. And I had to stop probably 5 or 6 times to take my breath. I got to the point where I was like, I'm telling you what, it was so steep. My kids were way ahead of me. You may be ahead of me on this spiritual mountain we're walking, but you ain't getting there without me. You take one step at a time. And I'd take another deep breath. I'd sit down and like, oh my goodness, I need to quit. I'm looking down and looking down. Sure looked a lot easier than quitting. But then I looked up and Brother Matthew said, Brother Daniel, it's shorter up there than it is down here. It's like, thank you, brother. We need to encourage one another. And you know what? One step at a time, I finally got the top of my mountain. I'm going to call a mountain. It's my mountain. So Tim said, that wasn't no mountain, brother. That was a hill. Climb the top of my mountain. He didn't want to say that. But you've got to take one step at a time. There's times, friends, where you have to just do one step at a time. It's hard. I can't breathe. Seems like everybody is past me. Even people that are younger than me. Seems like they've just passed me right up. I feel foolish. I could quit and just lay down and I'd hate myself the rest of it because I thought you had a chance. You had a chance to do it. You didn't do it. I could be disappointed or I can say, I don't care. I'm taking my breath, I'm taking my time, and I'm climbing this mountain. Amen. I'll ask you, who wants to climb the mountain with me?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes, Brother Matthew see me going up at one point, and he said, Brother Daniel, I wouldn't go that way, brother. It's kind of slick. Come around this other way. I couldn't say, I'm going my own way. Tell me what to do. Whatever. Thank you, brother. I go around there, I'll take it where I can get it. Sometimes you have to feel like you're getting corrected, and you think, well, he sure thinks he's something. He's some kind of arrogant something. No, it's because that brother knows if I could have failed, I'd have rode all the way down that hill. Kids would have laughed at me, but it would have hurt. Sometimes you feel like he's trying to correct me because he thinks that he's some kind of puffed up. No, he knew that would have been easier for me, and he wanted me to make it.
Amen.
That's right. And so I've said things this morning. It may hurt. It may feel like I'm saying, I am not trying to be a puffed up. It's because I love you, and I want to see you conquer. I want to see you persevere in this. That's right. Chastisement never feels good at the time, but it's afterwards. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't remember a single time my dad taking me and taking that strap to me and said, Dad, we should do this more often. No, sir. I hated that man. I was like, oh, I hate him. Oh, just, Then afterwards, like, Dad, you're right. That's right. Amen. So I'll move forward just a little further, okay? St. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. And the blind and the lame come to him in the temple, and he healed them. Claim the house, and the healings will come.
Amen.
Claim the house, mountains will move. I mean, you've got a mountain, you need to move out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
I've got mountains.
Right.
But I know I've got to do my part of this. And when I do my part, God will move the mountain. Amen. The ministers hated, ministers absolutely hated him. Rather than being excited to see the liberty in the people's lives, they were jealous that the miracles didn't happen under their ministry. It proves their very motive for ministry was wrong. If a minister ever gets angry at another minister because God works in his ministry and not theirs, there's something wrong with their ministry. Say amen. That's why I don't go to ministry. I hate it because I don't go to many visiting places because ministers. Hearing ministers bash one another. I don't want to hear that garbage.
Right.
Because it don't matter how good you do it here, it's out there. Amen. Where the rubber meets the road. That's the real thing. Anybody can preach back here, just about. You know what I'm saying? But it's out there. That's the real preaching. That's the real living. That's the one that really shows who you are. And I can't say enough. This right here, friend, that can be your worst enemy. And it can be your greatest weapon. What we talk about. I sent a deal to my kids. It's been about a couple weeks ago. It says a man will speak from the abundance of his heart. So you can examine yourself and say, what do I talk about? That'll show you what you've been thinking on. Amen. We need to think on the right things. It matters what we think about. That is why there's so many sicknesses and obstacles are not being moved. It's because people need to clean the house. We must chase out everything that disrespects the Word of God out of our lives and out of our homes. The Word is to be held in a respectful manner. David knew God. David was a man that loved God. And David was a man that made the mistake of doing the card. And I say that, if you make mistakes, don't put yourself so bad, because David was a man that made mistakes too. God made way for David. God will make way for you. Amen. Okay. Brigham says this. He says, if a bullet is supposed to be directed to a target and you jerk the barrel 1,000th off here, to begin with, at 100 yards, you're 4 or 5 inches off. You start wrong. Oh God, help us to know this thing has started wrong. This great crusades of the hour, they're so called. God is not consulted about it. Priest and religious man is consulted. Organization is consulted. Well, will you have such and such? I believe if we could get everybody together, this is what Brother M says. He says, don't get everybody together, just get God's word about it. When we find that, when they do that, what do? They continually to go right in with their same religious program, which is out of the word of God and the will of God. The things dried up years ago. We'll skip down just a little bit. David says, that's the way David did it. He had it this way. So he said, you know what I'll do? We're moving. He had a revelation. We're moving now. We'll do it a new way. The days of miracles was past, so we'll just make us another organization. We'll build a new cart showing a new thing has started. What a false prophecy. You've got to go back the way God said to do it. They put it up on the shoulders of the Levites, and that was over the heart, the ark. The word is not to be packed upon some new denomination, upon theories of man, but in the heart. The word of God is not to be handled by denomination. It's to be handled by the heart of man, where God can come in there and reveal himself, and he reveals himself through his word. I'm going to read one more quote. Get ready to start coming down. Now, the Lamb, in the time of intercessory back there, he knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. And as long as those names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as intercessor. Do you get it? Perfectly predestination. All right, he had to stay there because he had to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life, see? By his foreknowledge, he saw them, not by his own will. His will was that none should perish, but by foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name that had never been declared in earth, Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as that final name had splashed into the Clorox bleach, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See? And he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe unto those outside Christ at that time. Christ stays as intercessor until every name comes manifest. I'm thankful for that. He's going to intercede for you. Because if you're anything like me, you make mistakes every day. You fall flat on your face every day. But even in those times, whenever I'm falling, Christ is still interceding through me. If you look at these things and say, I know I've stepped probably a lot of toes this morning, and I don't try to be puffed up or anything, I'm telling you, as your brother, we got to watch these things. We've got a rapture that's going to take place. And I want us all to go into rapture, but I also want you to be victorious on this side of the river. Mm-hmm. On the side of the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We all go through the Jordan River of being dying and receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about taking this rapture. You know, God is a chain-breaking God. God is a mountain-moving God. And a lot of times, we don't give it enough time. A lot of times, we say, well, I'm praying, I've done everything. You need to wait. Sometimes you need to give God time to work, because sometimes God sees it if you really believe it. God knows you believe it. He's got to get you to see that. You know, talking about Abraham. Abraham's going to sacrifice Isaac. Pray for this child for years. All of a sudden, he gets this child, and God says, kill him. Sacrifice him. And Abraham took this boy on the mountain there, and he started to cut his throat and brought the knife down, and the angel said, stop now. Now we know the Lord. Now the Lord knows you love him and you believe him. God knew all the time, but he had to get Abraham to know that. And sometimes we go through these tests. It's so God can, it's a test for us so we can know what God has done in our life. Or we can know. But we got to have the token. The token I was talking about is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Where the evidence of the Holy Ghost is, my token is on display. Where the life that I'm living shows that I am pardoned. The life inside me shows that I have accepted my token. It's all stuff. Let's ask every head to be bowed if you don't mind. Musicians, come if you'd like to. You can accept the Lord right where you are. By no means at all do you have to come up here, but an altar can be right where you are, but there is an altar available. No, if you sometimes you say, you know what, brother, I just need to pray this thing through. And we want to open that up to you. If anyone has need of prayer, if you say, well, Daniel, I need you to pray with me because I've got this thing going through my life and I've got to have victory over this thing. I need help. You know, Brother Branham talked about one time about a man that said, Brother Branham, I have a stubborn spirit. How do I get rid of this stubborn spirit? Brother Branham said it this way, if I could explain it the closest I can, he said, it's like a rattlesnake. He said, if you keep messing with it, it'll just keep getting worse. He said, but if you'll just walk away from it, ignore it, it'll go away. Amen. If you're fighting a stubborn spirit this morning, say, Lord, help me to do my part of this morning and help me to walk away from that thing. Thank you. I said anything out of tone, forgive me, Lord. You know the integrity of my heart, Lord, that from the very depths of my heart, Lord, what I truly want is to see this precious portion of the bride that I'm talking to. I want to see him conquer, Lord. I want to see him overcome. Lord, the old devil, he's trying to make it so relaxed by that old Laodicean spirit this hour, Lord. And Lord, they're just trying to get us just to relax, Lord. Help us to shake that thing off, oh God. Lord Jesus, and may the power of God be manifest in their life, Lord. May the evidence of the token be in their life, Lord God. Lord, we show that we have accepted this blood, Lord. I'm not trying to do it my own way, because my way won't work. I want to come your way, Lord. God, I'm asking you, would you walk the aisle right now, Lord? Would you knock on every heart, Lord God? Lord Jesus, please give them an opportunity this morning just to claim the blood, Lord. Lord God, I claim it myself, Lord. I claim it for this church. I claim it for my children, Lord. I love them, Lord. I love this church, oh God. I claim it for my pastor, Lord. Help our brother to never deviate from the word, Lord. Help him to preach boldly, Lord, but at the same time comfort him when he needs to be, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless the ministry of this church, Lord. Lord God, help us to not get last. But Lord, help us be a faithful watchman on the wall, Lord God. Lord, we can watch those spirits trying to come in on the flock, oh God. Lord Jesus, seducing devils, oh God. Oh Lord, I ask you, Jesus, search us now, Lord. Knock on every heart. Lord, if there be anything in our life, Lord, that's a rebellious, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, help us, Lord, to overcome. I'm asking you, Jesus, let that still small voice become louder. Lord, where we can hear your voice, where we can be led by your Spirit. Lord, make us hungry for the Word of God. Lord, as I mentioned earlier, it's the diet, Lord. Help our diet in the alone times. Help us to feed on the right thing. Lord, the prophet said people will have the white dog and the black dog. God, help us feed the right one, Lord. Help us, oh God. We love you. Inhabit our praise the remainder of this service, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Tony to come forward, if you don't mind, brother.
Take care of itself.
That's right.
I used to work with a guy that, an older fellow, that he was a soldier in the Korean War. And he told me one time, he said, fresh soldiers just went in and they took them over there and dumped them out on the frozen ground and told them, gave them the little old things, little shovels, and said to dig in. His name was Bill Sorrels. You used to work with him, Bill Sorrels. He said, they picked up those little tools they gave him, had a little shovel on the end of it, and he said, we hit that ground to dig in, and he said it was solid ice. And we all looked at one another and said, huh, I'm gonna mess with that. He said, long about midnight, motors started coming in. They needed to dig in, and they didn't. He said, well, when the mortars started coming, he said, in about 5 minutes, they all had their holes built. See, it looked too hard, right? It looked too hard up front. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do these things. I can't come to church on time, you know, 30 minutes early. I can't read my Bible and pray every day. I can't. It's just too hard. But the time will come when you'll wish you had it.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? It may seem too hard. And these things do matter. You know, God sent us a prophet in this day. And that's not just some man with a... That's a man whose whole life is a representative of the revealed word for the day. And that prophet lived the things that he did in our day with a great price. This whole thing, from the beginning to end, has been a great gospel of great price. And that man went through a lot to be able to stand before us and tell us, you need to come to church 30 minutes early. Right? You need to have that token applied. He told us those things because there was a great price behind that. And I think sometimes people take it too lightly, you know? Yeah. So now, you know, as a pastor, I'm not real harsh and not real dogmatic, but you hear me say this. You hear me say, you know what? Even the dad of a house could say, you know, I think we should do this, and the family should go with it.
Yes.
Amen. He, you know, and your pastor should say, you know what? You need to be on church, at church on time. You should do it,
yeah.
Right? And so, but I'm not supposed to be real harsh, but, you know, God has an evangelist. He can kind of, but here's the thing. I've said this before, you know. Mama tells the kids, you better behave. Because if you don't, when daddy gets home, it's going to be bad news. And that's what we do. We stand up here. I'm not going to come to your house and make sure you get out of bed on Sunday morning and make sure you're at the house of God. But I'll tell you that if you don't come, like the prophet said, it grieves me. I'm all the time grieved about it when I see believers who call themselves believers doing things that I know Brother Ram is crying out from a great price, crying out against those things, and I see him do it like it's nothing.
Yes.
Feeding on Hollywood and all these things. And so I can say it and say it, and Brother Daniel can get up here and he can say it. But when daddy gets home, it won't be mercy. You see what I mean? So we certainly want to do what we're supposed to do. You know, David, I've said this before, David won his victories in secret.
That's right.
There wasn't anybody back there on that backside of the desert to see when he killed that lion and that bear. But it was that victory back there in secret that made him ready. And in God's economy, he fixed it so that when he was out there face to face with Goliath, he could win that victory openly because of the character that was formed back there when that lion and that bear was there. Mm-hmm. See? But also when David in secret took another man's wife.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Then outward, openly, he had to suffer. See? So it's what we do behind closed doors. It's what we do when nobody else is around. That's really who you are. See? And we can say, well, this service will be over in just a minute, and then I won't have to go pray or whatever. And then you go out worse than you came in. See? So this gospel is real. And this thing, listen, I would encourage every one of you to go and look at the Holocaust. I know it's horrible, but go look at it. Look what those spirits did to people.
Yes,
those spirits are that cruel. They will do those things. They did do those things. And that was just a pre-tribulation. A prophet said that was just an amateur tribulation, just a tiny opening of what's coming.
Yes.
Right? Because they were over there and those spirits anointed those Hitler and Mussolini and Eichmann and all those different ones and went in and did the things they did. And yes, they were that cruel to those people, took them into those camps and did those things to them. You should read about it. Because you know what? If you miss the rapture, Those spirits that you read about is exactly what you're going to face when it's over with. Because it won't be amateur then. See, it does matter. And we like the services to come in here where we're talking about things that edify. But this will edify you if you just listen to it and take heed to it. And stop letting the things rob you of the victories you can have. Right? Stop letting those things happen. Take charge of your life and begin to have these victories right back in the private places. And you know what? When you can't come to church on time and be here 30 minutes early, it shows there's a problem somewhere. It's not so much the dynamics or the mechanics or whatever you want to say of being, okay, I'm here on time, because you could be a devil and be here 30 minutes early.
That's right.
It's not so much that, but when we are supposed to be part of the church, we're supposed to come in and be part, and we are, and supposed to be under the discipline of the church and of the teaching we have, and we're supposed to have that, and yet in the presence of all that we understand, we don't do it. It's an indication of something is bad. And we can talk about what you feed on, just like Brother Daniel was saying a while ago. It's all those things are indication of a problem. And if that problem gets taken care of, then it automatically manifests.
That's right.
Those that you've been around the church, think about it. Who is it that in the church that you've went to church with for years, whether it's here or elsewhere, the ones who were always the sturdy ones? Did you see them drag in late? Did you see them have a non-consecrated life? No, you see they had it, and you see they had victory, and you see God answer their prayers. So it does matter. I remember hearing Brother Branham tell the church many years out down the road in his ministry, and he said to his saints there at the church, he said, think of all the ones that's gone, already went on, passed on. Think of the ones that stayed with this word, and think how they went when they went. And he said, now, think of the ones who got away from this word, how they went. Sobering. It will come to your door. And your addictions to the world ain't going to help you at that time. See? It does matter. So now, I'm standing up here from a pastoral standpoint, need to correct you, and right now I'm a little harsher than what I normally am because I'm riding on the Brother Daniel's of the spirit of the service this morning.
Right.
But I want to take this as an opportunity to tell you to quit compromising. Because we are all responsible, and we're responsible to each other, to one another, and to ourselves. And it does matter. Mm-hmm. Listen, you don't want to stand there on that day and have God tell you, you knew that you were supposed to be such and such because it was preached before you. My prophet said it, your pastor said it, your evangelist said it. And you knew it, and you did it anyway. And because of this, there were people in your service that didn't get healed, or people that somebody come in and didn't get an experience with God because you don't want to stand there and have to hear him say that, right? And so, very good service this morning. But I want to tell you something. In all that, let's bring it back underneath something here. He said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It's not that hard. I mean, it is hard. It's an uphill climb. But when we get in his presence, it becomes really easy to be in his presence, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Just come to him. Come to him repentant. Come to him with an open heart. And he'll put such a spirit on you that whatever trial, this is what I want to get to, whatever trial you're up against, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, when you get into his presence, that trial will become so much easier because now he's living in you. Mm-hmm. Amen? And you'll see things through his eyes. And you know what? We will understand. We all know. And I think Brother Daniel mentioned this. We as his children have to be tested. We have to be tried. We're not going to go through without trials and tribulations. It's not going to happen. So you're ordained. You're going through something right now. It's ordained of God. You wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now if God didn't permit it. And you say, well, I'm in a situation I'm in right now because of something I did. Sure, he's master over all of it.
That's
he's
right.
The Lord of the harvest.
Yes.
And he can take your mistakes
and perfect you in those mistakes and still get you where he wants you to be.
That's right.
And that's exactly what he does. If you're a child of God, if you're one of his, he's got control over all those things, and he will use every aspect of everything you go through to perfect you and bring you down the road. But while that's happening, you just have to realize, my father's a king. I'm a son or daughter of a king. And I'm gonna conduct myself as one. Amen? You love the Lord?
Yes.
It feels good when you get a spanking, right? No, it does. Because the scripture said so. Let every man's word be a lie, but God's word true. And the scripture said that after you've received a whipping, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness.
That's right.
So if you perceive what has been put forth here this morning, if you receive that in the correct way, you're going to go out feeling better. Peaceable fruits of righteousness. But if you go out thinking horrible about Brother Daniel or Brother Tony, you didn't catch it. Amen? Because it's true. Peaceful fruits of righteousness will fix you. And you'll go out feeling better. Amen? And then let's just sing a worship song. I want you to kind of settle out as we go. Amen. Don't mean to stand up here and try to preach behind Brother Daniel, but I do feel responsible to whoever ministers to come up and just back that up. And also, if it was something wrong, to come up and correct it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.